Amen.
It was hard to fall asleep, but one thin lamb stood in his mind as he lay there counting sheep.
Yes.
He wondered why the young lamb had to die, why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain it had still remained.
Bless the Lord.
But he wanted to be sure. So he called out to his earthly father.
Bless the Lord.
With a trembling voice, so scared, crying, "Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there?"
Amen.
He said, "Son, don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow, the rain may fall, but it won't just wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been a fight.
Safe, secure, blood still there.
Amen.
Right. Okay, Mother, you need this?
No, sir.
Okay. I'd hate to know I didn't have the blood.
Oh, oh yeah, that's right.
He got this thing fixed. My pastor said this thing's fixed. All right. Listen, you singing this morning? All right. Glory. I'll tell you, hallelujah, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, it is.
She sang it last weekend, but Phyllis wanted us to sing it. So
good.
She wasn't here.
Amen. Bless her, Lord.
So this is for you, Phyllis.
Yeah.
Life is over, I'll fly away.
Woo!
Seen this house and a big tree had fell over on it. Then knocked the whole, it's a brick house, it knocked the whole end of the house completely out. I'm talking about you could see into the house. Brick laying everywhere and drywall laying everywhere and insulation laying everywhere. I'll tell you what that neighbor did, they cut all their trees. They weren't going to take no chance no tree falling their house. They were just, you know, about that high up, they done cut their trees down. But that tree made a big leak on that house. It took the roof off, took the bedroom, bathroom out, took the whole inner house. But I really enjoyed that singing. Appreciate y'all singing this morning. I got a song in my heart. That's all I can get it. I can't get it no further. Amen. He established my going, put a song in my heart, even praise the Lord. And hallelujah for that song in my heart. Amen. Let me make a couple quick announcements. They are important. A couple young preachers wanting to come to the church next Sunday night. One of them's name is Austin. The other one's name, let me get this information here so I can get it to you right here. One of them's name is Austin Blankenship. He's 21 years old. Both of these boys are young. The other one's 18. Austin's been preaching for 12 years. Got saved when he was a... Let me get my eyeballs on there. This'll help a bunch. He's been saved for 15 years. So he must have been about 6 years old when he got saved. Quentin McKenzie and my wife, when she worked at a Red Cross school, Quentin was one of her students. My wife was a volunteer teacher. And she said Quentin wore a suit to school every day, and they made fun of him. He wore a suit to school every day. He got saved when he was 8 years old, and he's 18 years old, and he's only been preaching for 3 years. They're wanting to come, and one of them sing, and one of them preach. I'm okay with it. If anybody's against it, raise your hand right now, and we'll talk about it. But if you ain't, I'd like to invite these boys. They don't want no money. They just want to come sing and preach. They got tremendous zeal. I met them, talked with them, got to ask them a lot, few questions. And bear witness, I have to admit, I kind of wished I got started when I was young. I didn't get started young. I didn't get saved. I was 34 years old, got called to preach. I was 38 years old and got a late start. I'm kind of jealous a little bit of these young boys. Being young, wanting to serve God. They're somewhere preaching right now. They're preaching revival this week. They're trying to find an open door, wanting to be a blessing. But anyway, if anybody's against them coming, let me know. If not, I'm going to call them and tell them to come on. I told them I wanted to mention it to the church. I want to encourage them.
That's right.
Hey, we got people, young people right now, don't even know what gender they are. Don't know where they're going to spend eternity. And you got two right here, good as gold. I just say this, I believe it'd be a blessing. I told them, I said, come, we'll give you an opportunity to sing, an opportunity to preach. And that'll be next Sunday night, the 23rd, next Sunday night. Next month, August the 20th, I had a missionary contact me. His name's Brother Rue. He's a missionary in the Philippines. He's wanting to come by and give a talk to the church, probably sing, probably preach. He's already been to Bethel. My pastor, he filled me in on a little bit of Brother Rue. I have talked to Brother Rue on the phone. That's the 20th, I believe, of next month. I believe that's the 20th of August on a Sunday morning. I would like for him to come. I do want to be mission-minded. I know we support a lot of people. And we're a little church. I can't believe, I think we done got three. Hey, we got three, two radio stations. Mm-hmm. And we're still supporting David Epps.
Yep.
Well, if we do decide, and this is your decision, I would strongly urge you to consider this. If we do decide to support Brother Rue, I don't want, we're a little church. I want to overextend it. I know we're like maybe $100 a year like we do the others. Not a whole lot. We may have moved some of those radio programs up. I don't know if we did or not, but we don't need to overextend ourselves. If we do decide to support this missionary, which I would encourage you to, I believe it would be a good investment. I didn't find out. God, I heard about a church one time, but they were completely out of money. And the older pastor there, said, I want us to take every bit of money we've got and give it to missions. And everybody about fainted, but they did. And their amount they had, like, golly, went astronomical. And then they wanted to start supporting missionaries. I just say this. I don't want to put God in that kind of predicament. But you think about it. And we won't worry about that till August the 20th. If you're like-minded as I am and won't, to support Brother Rue. I told him we'd let him come, give us a presentation, and if we are inclined to support him, I don't want it to be nothing but, you know, realistic. $100 a year is plenty for a missionary. In the Philippines, it's like $1 million. That's different over there. A dollar here spends like big money over there. So be praying about that. Be thinking about that. I do believe it'd be a blessing. He's too young. Men coming next Sunday night. I believe it'll be good. Till then, y'all got to put up with me. And I appreciate y'all letting me be your pastor. I told them I'm blessed beyond measure. Y'all spoiled me to death here. I'm telling you, I'm the littlest. I'm the least of the least, the littlest there is. And I feel big here. I do. I feel like, I feel like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. That's the way I feel. Right. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, let's get right with it. I've wasted enough time this morning. We're preaching out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Got this message yesterday. I think I may have talked with Donnie a little bit about it. I don't know. Man, I ran on all the time. I probably did. But we're going to read here a little bit of Scripture before we ever even say anything. This may be a two-part message. I'll let the Lord lead on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 18 verses. This is a doctoral message. You'll learn a lot if you listen today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 18. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth,
to them that are sanctified, and I'm glad I am.
Amen.
Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given unto you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, like that confirmed part right there.
Yes.
So that you come behind and that you come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If He comes today, I'm leaving today. I'll just tell you right now. Who shall also confirm you? We read this Wednesday night. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a key verse right here. That y'all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Yeah.
For it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. And it's probably true in a lot of churches. It shouldn't be, but there is. And now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Paulus, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. Boy, that's quite a statement. But Crispus and Gallius, lest I should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach a gospel, now with wisdom of words. Here's why: lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And I love having this cross behind me, I'll tell you right now. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Now I want to stop right there. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, read down to verse 11. It goes hand in hand, almost like repeating what he just said. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, we're right back where we was, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye obeyed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth pretty much anything, but God that giveth the increase. That's where the emphasis is. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're both workers. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. We're working, you know, we're in the... Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. We're in the same business of soul winning. We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. Paul talking about himself as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another built thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Two more verses. Verse 22 and 23. Whether Paul or Apostle, come on. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. All right. I'm preaching this morning. That's a lot of scripture reading, but it gets you caught up for your devotions. I'm preaching this morning on who's right. Like I said, this is a doctrinal type message. You'll learn from this message if you listen. Lord, we come to you behalf, Lord, of not only this church, Lord, and its needs, but we come to you, Lord, on behalf of our own needs. Ask you to open our eyes this morning. Open, Lord, our ears, our understanding. Ask you, Lord, to set a table, Father God, this morning, that we may sup with you and fellowship with you, Lord, in this message. I pray, Lord, especially for Brother James and Sister Patty Madison, Lord. They mentioned, Lord, that James had been fallen. And Lord, we just pray you go to him even right now, Lord, and minister, Lord, to his needs, we pray. And Lord, we pray for others, Father. Lord, we pray for them already this morning. And Lord, we want to continue to pray for them. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, ask your blessings. Amen. Now, I'm preaching a very simple message, and it's a very serious message on who's right. And you know, we got everybody and the brother who claims to be right. But who's right depends on what you're comparing it to. Now, my dad.
That's right. Amen.
Got Micah back there. My dad had a construction company. And I was a young man. Micah's the only young man I see here this morning. But I helped my dad in that construction business. And I wished I'd asked more questions. And I wished I paid more attention. He was a good a builder, you know, good carpenter. We worked for Stockyard Farm and Dairy. We built milk parlors. We poured concrete. Hey, we built the building. We built back of barns. We built a little bit of everything. But Dad had a wooden level, Brother Jerry. And I come as close to bringing it this morning. I thought it might be a summer about to bring it. But anyway, on one side of that level, the level worked right. And on the other side, I mean, you can flip it over, just depending on which way headed. It too. Y'all may know how level is. It too, they're together. One of them would be right, and the other one wouldn't be right. We had to mark that one out with a black felt marker. It took us a while to figure out what the heck was going on, because it didn't just jump out to you that there was something wrong with it. But if you went by that one bubble that was off, what you built was off. But if you went by that other bubble that was right, what you built was right. Now, my dad, he wanted everything to be right, Patrick. We was building a milk parlor out there in the, I guess it'd been a no-bob area out there. And we was all up on the roof. Daddy's down there. He's cutting the board. We was nailing them in place. And Brother Ronnie, my dad, he wanted to be, if you gave him a measurement, he wanted to be exact. He asked my cousin Steve, he said, "What size is this little short board?" It wasn't that big a board, went in between these two rafters here. And my cousin, he'd been up there counting forever. And he gave Daddy the measurement. He said, it's 10 and 17 sixteenths. Daddy threw his hammer down and said, "Let's go one." I said, "Just too much. I mean, it's only 16 sixteenths." But he said, "It's 10 and 17 sixteenths." And I didn't even get it. It took me a while to even figure out why Daddy threw the hammer down. But Daddy, he wanted to be perfect. He wanted that thing to fit in there, and to fit in there snug, no slop. And, you know, our job was to nail it. And he'd say, "Hit the nails." You'd tell I didn't always hit the nail. But anyway, that level right there, kind of like this message here today, it depends on what you're comparing right to.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes, Brother Ed, I can't tell how crooked something is until something straight's beside it.
Right.
Then he said, "My God, that thing's crooked as a dog's leg." But anyway, that's kind of what we're preaching about here today. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says there's a way it seems right, but the end there is a way of death. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, "The ways of a fool are right in his own eyes." In the last verse, Judges 21, verse 25, "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And listen, the statement, y'all heard this, he got right with God. What that means is he threw his opinion away and he received the word of God.
Amen.
And I got right with God one day. I thought I was right, Sarah. I mean, I did. I looked down. I thought, I'm just as good as he is.
Yeah.
And there was one day I saw, you know, myself in God's mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw how crooked I was.
Yeah.
I didn't look too good in God's mirror, Rita. But I'll tell you what, I got right with God. And then after I got right with God, looking in God's mirror, I could see myself as someone that's saved. I can see myself Christ-like. You know, I'm not Christ, but I want to be Christ-like. I want people to take note I've been with Jesus. But I got right with God. And you know that statement, got right with God, means someone accepted the fact that God was right and they were wrong. And the Bible says, let God be true there in Romans chapter 3, verse 4.
Right.
Now Adam and Eve thought that's all right. And you know that fig leaf, first religion it was a fig leaf religion. I mean, they already realized they had a problem. Either that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it allowed them to be able to lose their innocence, and they saw this naked, and they couldn't hold their hands over forever, so they made some aprons out of fig leaves. It worked great till God showed up.
Yeah,
and when God showed up, they realized they wasn't right. It was right to Adam and Eve, but it wasn't right, and they knew it wasn't right when God showed up. Well, that's what we're preaching about today. About, you know, who's right? And a lot of category out there that I'm going to touch on here real quick. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you do want to look at this one verse here, verse 37, Paul got his words from the Lord. He said, the words that I speak, he said, they're commandments of the Lord. And you know, some received that, some rejected that. Verse 38, he said, amen, be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I mean, everybody don't receive the truth.
Right.
Some reject it.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference on whether you're right or not.
Yeah.
Now, God's right. I mean, I'm telling you, the whole world's guilty before God. And you know what? All of sin comes short of the glory of God. We've got some. I remember my wife one time, she said, I ain't like you, I don't sin. I said, you need to read some Bible, girl. And the Bible tells us, 1 John chapter number 1, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. If we confess our sin, He's faithful, just forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteous. I'm just telling you, when you read a little bit of Bible, you find out you're not as right as you thought you was. And you find out God's right every time. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, he said, the words I speak, they're commandments of the Lord. As Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, you know, in Acts chapter number 26, he told that his mission was to open blinded eyes. I do want to read just a little bit of that because I think that it would probably be better to read than try to quote that. Acts chapter 26, he's telling King Agrippa in the presence of the governor, Festus, not Felix. Felix wanted a more convenient season, but Festus, he took it a little further. Then Acts chapter 26, Paul here, starting in verse 15, he said, and I said, who art thou, Lord? Now Paul thought he was Saul then, thought he was right. And he ran into Jesus. And when he ran into Jesus, Bonnie, he said, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, and unto whom now I send thee. Here's his mission, to open their eyes, verse 18, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now Paul told his mission right there, and as soon as he did, if you look at verse 24, he got interrupted. And he got interrupted by this governor, Festus here. And Festus said, with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doeth make thee mad. He was telling Paul, you're crazy. And Paul told that governor, verse 25, he said, most noble Festus, he said, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. You see, Paul was right. Festus was wrong. And he had a lot of encounters just like this. And listen, there are a lot of churches out there, even right now. And my opinion, every church ought to have its doors open, ought to have its lights on, ought to have bread and fish on the fire, ought to be willing to receive anybody that's coming in sincerely. I mean, I don't want no troublemakers, but anybody that's sincere, that wants to know the standing of their soul, whether they're saved or lost, I want them to be able to come in and find not only the love of God, but the Word of God. Find the prayers of people of God. I'm just telling you, if you get in the right church, you can get a lot of help. Amen. But there are a lot of churches out there, and they're not all in that category. Now let me ask you some questions here. Even today, could you recommend your church?
Amen.
And listen, if you couldn't recommend your church, why are you going there? That's what I'm trying to say. You know, we need to be where we need to be. We need to be what we need to be, but we also need to be where we need to be. I'm talking about who's right. And you know, you don't have to be perfect. And the church don't have to be perfect, but it needs to have a few fundamental things. Amen. I mean, they need to have songs of God. They need to have the Word of God. And they need to have the Spirit of God, or they're twice dead. They're Ichabod. Amen.
That's right.
But listen, if you couldn't recommend your church, why are you still going there? And I say that as a pastor. There are a lot of different preachers out there. A lot of different teachers out there. And listen, if you couldn't recommend your preacher or your teacher, why are you sitting there? I'm just telling you, why go to church?
Come on.
And I know, you know, preachers like watermelon. Eat what you can, spit the rest out. I don't like watermelon seeds, I spit them out. And I sure ain't going to eat the rind, but there's a lot of good in a watermelon, and I'm going to eat all that. I can't love watermelon. Amen?
Amen.
But preachers a lot like that too, Sybil. You know, you just got to learn how to spit the seeds out and eat the good part.
Right.
Amen?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of things that go on in churches shouldn't be going on. Yeah. They did go on.
Right.
But listen, somehow they're able to still bear fruit. I say to that church, dig around it, dung it. Hey, try to get it up, get it going. You know, we're supposed to bear fruit. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If any man abide in me, he'll bear fruit, amen. He'll bear more fruit, he'll bear much fruit. We're supposed to be fruit bearers, amen.
Amen.
I want to have the right fruit, amen. I want to be a fruitful, not a fruit cake, but I want to be a fruitful child of God, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there are a lot of churches out there and a lot of preachers out there, and like Paul said, they need to say the same thing. They need to be like-minded. They need to be in the will of God. You know what I mean? If a church's not right, get out of there. If a preacher's not right, don't sit there.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, that's right.
And there are a lot of different Bibles out there. There's probably some even in here different. Listen, there's still, Paul talked about one preached Christ, to envy, some to strife. Nevertheless, Christ is preached. Yeah. If there's enough of the Word of God in there to get saved, it's got some good to it.
Right.
Me, I'm not going to have anything but a King James Bible. Now listen, I'll tell you, I quote Scripture a lot. The reason I quote Scripture a lot, I spend a lot of time in the Scripture, but I promise you, if I traded this right here for another version of the Bible, you'd hear me like a lot of them preachers you hear on the radio or maybe on TV, can't quote a verse. And you know, I probably should be careful right here. But our president, you know, the thing, you know, he couldn't even talk about, you know, endowed by thy Creator with certain inalienable rights. You know, he's trying to quote out of the Declaration of Independence, you know. And you know, even our vice president, you know, she didn't want to include the Creator in her statement. But I'm just telling you, there's a reason I can quote Scripture. I'm not going to put nothing else in front of my eyes. Jesus said, John 8:17, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. I want the truth, amen. Nothing but the truth, glory to God. But listen, we're talking about who's right here today. There are a lot of different Bibles out there. Paul asked this very church at Corinth. He said, how is it, brethren, that when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a revelation, or an interpretation? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. He wanted them to speak the same thing. He wanted them to be perfectly joined together in the same mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, God, He said, is Christ divided? Some of the churches may be. Some of the preachers may be. Some of the congregations may be. But Christ is not. He's one.
Right.
And I'm supposed to conform to Him. I'm supposed to, you know, John Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. I've got to decrease as any weight so that there's nothing left but Christ alone. And you know, we've got everything we need. We just need to be mindful of what we got and not let nothing slip. I think it was in Sunday school this morning, Sister Bonnie mentioned about living being a type of sin, and it is.
Yes.
And listen, living, even though it's in a small amount, ends up bringing a big problem.
Right.
And like I said, I've enjoyed teaching on eternal life the past two Wednesdays, been on the source of eternal life last Wednesday, on the surety of eternal life this Wednesday, will be on the sins of a child of God. It'll be a very important doctrinal type of teaching this Wednesday night. I encourage you to tune in on that. If you can be here, be here. But me and Brother Donnie, we got to talk to a man yesterday, a farmer, and he told us about his diet. He said, when I grew it up, he said it was pinto beans, fried taters, and cornbread. And he's pretty healthy, wasn't he, Donnie? Amen. Getting ready to turn 60, wasn't he? Yeah. And he's still working. I'm talking about come in, still had hay air on his chest where he'd been out there working in the field, you know. But you know Daniel. There, Daniel, there, Daniel chapter 1, verse number 2. He told that servant of the king, he said, if you don't care, just prove us. Just give us pinto beans. And you know it says pulse with beans. Give us beans and water to drink. And he said, just give us 10 days. We'll show you the difference. It didn't take but 10 days, Rita.
Yeah.
And that guy looked at him and said, no problem. I'll take away the wine, take away the meat. Y'all stay on the beans, amen. But you know, we are what we eat. And you know, spiritually we are what we eat.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you want something to be right,
amen.
Go right.
Amen.
Left under my feet. A light under my heart.
That's right.
A lamp under my feet and a light under my path. I'll just get ready to quote, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You
right.
Want to be right?
Amen.
Go to the right source.
Right. Yeah.
You want to do right? This will tell you how.
Amen.
You want to live righteous, godly, and soberly? This will tell you how to do it.
That's right.
If you want to be a peculiar generation, say it's a good work, this will have to tell you how to do it.
That's
this is instruction in right. I'm looking back there at the time back there. But listen, we're talking about who's right. The only way you can know who's right is you got to have something to compare it to.
Right.
If you don't have a good level, then you don't know that this is left. Here or here. This way or this way. You got to have a...
Amen.
We had a level, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
One side of it was good. Right. You just knew to use the right side.
Amen.
We finally marked that other bubble line after we figured out. I said, that just don't look right. We stick that level up. It looks right to me. And then we put another level up there and it wasn't right. And then we figured out we had a problem with the level. I'm just telling you, it's what you compare it to tells you whether it's right. If you line up with this right here, it'll line you up. I'll tell you right now. Oh yeah. Oh my. Who's right? In this day and hour, Jesus said, in the last days, He said, take heed that no man deceive you. We got so much disinformation. I don't want to get in there because we've done been censored and hacked enough. But we got so much disinformation going on today. The sad thing is, nobody's doing what they did in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Them Bereans more noble than them in Thessalonica, and they received the word of God with all gladness of heart, and they searched the scriptures daily, Rita, to see whether those things were so or not. Well, they had something to line it up with. And I've got to stop. I'm looking back at the time running. But listen, the only way to know who's right is to have the right thing right to compare Amen. It to. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, God help us, I pray. Yeah. Lord, that we will come out, Lord. Come out, Lord, from even the gray area and walk in the light, share the light. Lord, have sweet fellowship with you. Thank you for the good singing this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the good word of God. Help us, I pray, to be doers, not hearers, only deceiving ourselves. Help us, Lord, to walk for you in beauty and holiness. Help us set the standard where it needs to be a blessing, to honor you, Lord, every thought, every deed, and every breath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like to ask everybody to stand. That's a quick message right there. But I did get through it. Hallelujah. Get better, Jerry, please. Sister Sharon, if she would, please. Just one verse invitation on him. If you don't need to do nothing, then don't do nothing. But if you are at a counter and you do need to do something, I'm here for you. I'll pray with you. I'll answer any question you got. I'll help you any way I can. I am glad I am right with God. I'll tell you that right now. I pity the guy that's pastoring, that's preaching, or singing, and he ain't right with God. I remember hearing about the Great Welch Revival down in Florida, and the pastor called on a man to dismiss the service in prayer, and he started praying, and he stopped, broke down in tears. What's the use when you ain't right with God? Just 1 ounce of real broke forth, and a great revival proceeded. He just stopped. He said, what's the use when you ain't right with God? Listen, if you're not right with God, no better time than right now. Go ahead, brother Jerry.
Number 122.